chapter 3. In talking about this topic of eternal security, assurance of salvation, someone has asked, but don't people, including Christians, have free will to choose what is right and wrong? So if that's the case, then maybe you can choose to be saved or not saved, even after you've been saved. So in other words, can a Christian just say, you know what? I don't want to be a Christian anymore. And in fact, to deny this possibility, isn't that to deny the image of God in man who was created with a will? Well, I think there is even some debate as far as how much free will we actually have in this sin-cursed world. But most agree, I think, somehow God initiates salvation for man. God calls him. And in some way, to some degree, we are responsible to respond to that call. Let me give you an example here from John chapter 3. And I think this is very instructive for some of the debate that's going on today. In John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And it's important for us to understand that Nicodemus was actually a member of the Sanhedrin. You know, that group of men that actually crucified Jesus Christ. Very hostile, very angry. Well, Nicodemus is a part of that group. And he's watching and he's seeing the miracles that Jesus is doing and he's hearing things being talked about him. And his heart is being drawn to this one. Now he's fearful and he comes to Jesus by night. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I'm sure this was not what Nicodemus was expecting. But I think it's important for us to understand something is happening in Nicodemus' heart that is drawing him to the Lord. But he's not yet saved. How do I know this? Because Jesus says to him, except a man be born again, regenerated, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus says, well, how can a man be born again when he is old? And verse 5, Jesus answers, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He goes on to talk about that. In verse 9, Nicodemus answers and said unto him, well, how can these things be? And Jesus says in verse 10, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And then drop down to verse 16. He says, For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 18, He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so we see here, this is in essence what's happening. Nicodemus somehow is being drawn. He's seeing the miracles that Jesus is doing. People are talking about these gracious words of Christ, and his heart is drawn to him. But he's not saved. And Jesus says to him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus says, well, how does that happen? And Jesus says, you must believe. And I think this is very instructive for us. First of all, there's something that God does to draw a rebel to himself. circumstances that he brings into his life, maybe some supernatural dealing, providential dealing on God's part, something to draw us, to grab our attention. But then we are to respond in faith. Regeneration, being born again, does not precede faith. Some people say, well, you're dead, and so God has to make you alive, and then you can respond. No. He says, you must be born again. And Nicodemus says, well, how does that happen? And Jesus says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, basically. Thou shalt be saved. And so it is that man responds in faith, and then God regenerates. Well, once a man has made that decision to accept Jesus as his Savior, then Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30 says, and whom God calls, and then that man responds, he also justifies, and he sanctifies, and he glorifies him. The Bible tells us that God adopts, indwells, redeems, reconciles. All this language of permanence once salvation takes place. So we go back to that question. Isn't a man free to make his choice? I mean, you can choose to accept Christ. Or once you've accepted Christ, maybe later on you say, I don't want to be saved anymore. Well, a man standing at the edge of a 14-story building has the free will to choose to jump or not jump. But once you make the decision to jump and do so, you are now very limited in your choices. Once you've started the plunge, you are no longer free to say, you know what, I don't think I want to jump after all. Too late. There are choices we make with consequences that follow that are beyond our choice, right? Consequences follow, and certain choices are no longer available to us. And I believe once a man accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior, he's taken the plunge, so to speak. He is now adopted into the family of God. I believe if you were to say that a man can choose to not be saved after he's been saved, I ask the question, well, then what you're saying is that when you're in heaven 10 billion years from now, are you going to say, you know what, this heaven's pretty nice, but I think it's time to go to hell? What? I mean, you have a free will, right? I believe in heaven you're going to have a free will to choose. And by the way, we know, this is what's so unbelievable to me, we know that there was a time in the distant past where a heavenly being made a choice in heaven to be separated from God. But that's not going to happen in heaven for the believer. Why? Because the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Just like when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, so it is when we actually go to heaven and see Him face to face. We're not going to choose not to, the true child of God is not going to choose not to be His child. Now, I think there are times in the life of a Christian where medication and illness can somehow sometimes cloud our judgment. And we make decisions that if we were in our right mind, we would never have made. And I think God understands that. God preserves us through that. But the fact of the matter is, I believe that once a person puts his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he takes over. He takes over. And by the way, the more you get to know your Lord, the more you love Him. As I've often said, there are certain things in this life I have no temptation. I will never choose. I will not eat roadkill in the middle of the highway. It's just repulsive to me. And I think the more we understand sin and our God, boy, the less we want it. The less we want the sin, the more we want our God. And so this idea of free will as somehow, oh boy, we've got free will, so you have to say you can lose your salvation. No. Just because you have free will doesn't mean that you can undo some things. Sometimes that free will is gone when you've made choices. And when you've put your life, your faith, your trust in God, praise the Lord, He takes over. You've made the plunge. You're in His hands. Nothing can take you. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful.